If they don't, just call our business office. You'll find the number in the front of your telephone directory. And persistent cases are annoying calls you'll take over to try and track the fucks. Working with the police, our annoying call bureau is responsible for 844 arrests and 54 abortions. And offenders have learned that a 10-cent phone call can cost them as much as $1,000 and jam their ass in prison for a year. The New York telephone, doing business is your service. It's part of our obligation is to see to it that no motherfucker abuses that service. After all, the service we give you is a fool.
Hey, don't go away. There's a couple more, yeah.
Are you hanging in here? Well, I certainly hope so. But if you're not, if the angle of your jangle is on the increase, then listen carefully, pal, because your nuts may be in jeopardy. Yes, you too can suffer the agony of being de-scrutinized. The answer? Squeezy Jockstrap. Yes, Squeezy Jockstrap. Available in all sizes and, of course, all backs by Squeezy's famous for the life of the JS guarantee. Squeegee Jockstrap, at the sign of the Unbound Ball. Visit your local Squeegee distributor now and strap on Excelsior, Squeegee's top quality, full-line JS, or perhaps your taste runs to the economical. Squeegee Jockstrap now offers a complete selection of online JS's modeled after the internationally known Super Speaker. Squeegee Jockstrap, remember our slogan, Squeegee Jockstrap keeps you hanging in through the thick and thin. Just look for the sign of the Unbound Ball. If you see it, either someone's in trouble or you've found the score. Squeegee Jockstrap, keeping you hanging in there in style.
Oh, Lord.
You're listening to Radio Clandestine.
The quality goes to you before the menu
goes on. Radio Clandestine.
Well, you were listening to Radio Clandestine. You are now listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. In fact, you have all along. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, Santa Cruz, California. And for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be your host on a Civil Rights for the Poor show, which we call Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We're going to have reports from Prescott, Arizona, Salinas, California, San Francisco, Santa Monica, and, of course, Santa Cruz, as well as a mystery guest, Johnny Fresno, and choice cuts from the last Santa Cruz City Council meeting. Stay with us, stay tuned, and stay aboard.
Gas on the loose in the winter of the 60s. Now these cops don't seem to know we were furious years ago. They're so hungry in the winter of the 60s. Now we're angry students where and I'm going to Mile Island playing for chanties, baby. Reminiscent of the 60s. We wanna see what's the share. Now they are bringing back the dream of my life. It's really reminiscent of the 60s. While the lobstermen and hippies in New Hampshire picket pesco, the boys are taking over the streets and dance with me. How the hell they stay home or patronize the local disco? It's so reminiscent of the 60s. Well, a bunch of fair slacks jump the bosses off your back. They're actors, baby, reminiscent of the 30s. And that nice surprise, the world great, We will not be mystic fossils. Out of this big old castle, we'll get a food. There's some twisting with a 60. We got SWAT teams for the hot screen. We'll be independent testers. And grand dreams for the fumes. We'll be only in the mystic. So, bring your chair and just sit on your keister. Or else, And if people sing songs, although it's right and it's wrong, then a song is people in the sense of the 60s. Out of every music, when the guitars are acoustic, I can't reason out of the music in the 60s. Head curly headed, turbantine, in a rolling thunder. I built my castle on the hill to evangelize and wonder at the peasants. But the name is out of the window. And there's a lost and lost, and there's thinking of me. If the pain is so much,
was Fred Small, vaguely reminiscent of the 60s. Maybe we'll get a tape that's a little better next time. As I said before, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. This is Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I'm your host, Robert Norse. And we're going to be considering a number of things. Particularly of interest to me and particular target of mine are laws that penalize poor people for doing what they have to do in public spaces. Laws that merchants put into place because they don't like the look of folks who are poor around their stores. Now, we're familiar with these kinds of laws here in Santa Cruz because our liberal, progressive city council put a bunch of them into effect in 1994 in a deal with the Downtown Association, the Downtown Commission, and the downtown merchants, essentially setting aside progressive civil liberties principles in order to maintain a kind of an unholy pact with the downtown merchants around post-earthquake reconstruction. And those laws in Santa Cruz, of course, include sit on the sidewalk near a shop, go to jail. It was originally sit anywhere on the sidewalk, go to jail, and that was quickly halted by mass demonstrations and court rulings, but still, sit on the sidewalk near a shop, go to jail, ask for spare change after dark peacefully, go to jail, have an item on the sidewalk after dark, like a stand or a box or a demonstrative kind of table, that's also illegal. There's a whole series of laws that came in 1994 thanks to the Neil Coonerty, Scott Kennedy, Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews majority. Coonerty, owner of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, is no longer in the city council or on it, but he was the guiding spirit behind that legislation at that time. And still has his merchants still have strong influence on the council. In Salinas, something similar is happening, and I learned about that from a radio broadcast and contacted the Salinas City Council. The city clerk there sent me a copy of an aggressive solicitation ordinance that they are going to be voting on next Tuesday in Salinas. That's a town about, 50 miles to our south, kind of southeast of us. I'm going to read you a little of this ordinance, and then I'm going to play you an interview I had with an American Civil Liberties Union attorney in Pacific Grove, California, which is a hop, skip, and a jump from Salinas, but they at least are interested enough to express their opinion on these laws, and perhaps even to take them to court if they pass the city council, something our local American Civil Liberties Union is unwilling to do around the panhandling ordinance. But here's a bit of what the law says. It is the intent and purpose of the council in enacting this chapter to improve the quality of life and economic vitality of the city and to protect the safety of the general public against certain abusive conduct of persons engaged in solicitation by imposing reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on solicitation while respecting the constitutional rights of free speech for all citizens. My aside here, of course, this is the way of trying to protect their ordinance from being overturned as unconstitutional. They are using the key phrase, reasonable time, place, and manner, and of course, respecting constitutional rights of free speech. The council finds that an increase in aggressive solicitation throughout the city has become extremely disturbing and disruptive to residents and businesses, and has contributed not only to the loss of access and enjoyment of public places, but also to an enhanced sense of fear, intimidation, and disorder. This, of course, is the kind of line that Mayor Kennedy, now Councilmember Kennedy, was giving out to the public in 1994. And when I spoke to a reporter at the Salinas Californian this morning, he informed me that it was his sense that this was merely a merchant view and also had to do with the incoming Steinbeck Center, a large redevelopment project being put right in the middle of a poor area. So in order to oust poor people from their normal terrain, they're going to pass a series of laws that make it illegal for them to ask for spare change and things of that sort. Aggressive solicitation usually includes approaching and following pedestrians, the use of abusive language, unwanted physical contact, intimidation, or the intentional blocking of pedestrian vehicular traffic. The council further finds that the presence of individuals who solicit money from persons at or near banks or automated teller machines is especially threatening and dangerous. Something, by the way, that San Francisco found was not the case. And, you know, it's annoying, you know, but it's certainly not threatening and dangerous. That's I think that's a jump way ahead. Plus, all these other concerns are already addressed by existing law, but let's continue with the purpose and findings of the Salinas panhandling law. People parking on city streets frequently find themselves faced with solicitors seeking money as the vehicle's occupants attempt to enter or exit the vehicle, and people entering and exiting business or dining at indoor or outdoor dining facilities or utilizing public transportation are all placed in situations in which they are a captive audience, which is impossible or difficult for them to exercise their right to decline, to listen, or to avoid solicitation from others. Restricting solicitations in such places will provide a balance between the rights of solicitors and persons who wish to decline or avoid such solicitations, and will help diminish the threat of violence and intimidation in such unwarranted and unavoidable confrontations. Now, of course, violence and the threat of violence is already criminal behavior. So this is essentially double talk designed to cover a further contraction of civil rights for poor people. Continuing, this law is timely and appropriate because current laws and city regulations are insufficient to address the aforementioned problems. The restrictions contained herein are narrowly tailored to serve a substantial government interest. Furthermore, in enacting this legislation, the council recognizes its citizens' right to be protected from the fear, harassment, and intimidation accompanying certain kinds of solicitation that have become an unwelcome and overwhelming presence in the city. Of course, there's no protection for people from the unwelcome, overwhelming fear, harassment, and intimidation of the police force when they go out and enforce this law selectively against those they choose to remove. Don't think they're going to be going after the Girl Scouts or the Democratic Party. We know exactly who they're going to go after. It's the poor folks. It's you and me, folks. So this is a law that will make it illegal for people to solicit at a bus stop. And the solicit means to ask for anything, by the way, of monetary value in any way. So asking for food could be considered a form of solicitation. Solicitation is any request made in person, including asking or begging, seeking an immediate donation of money, food, cigarettes, or items of value. Purchase of an item for an amount far exceeding its value under circumstances where a reasonable person would understand the purchase is in substance a donation is a donation for the purposes of this chapter. So, in other words, if you buy a street newspaper from a vendor for more, you give them more money, and the newspaper vendor asks you for a dollar for a paper that might have cost a dime to make, that's considered to be aggressive solicitation, or let's say solicitation for the purposes of this ordinance, and illegal. under the following circumstances: illegal after sunset or before sunrise, at any bus stop, in any public transportation vehicle or facility. Don't ask anybody for a dime on the bus if you're short of change. In any vehicle on the street or while such vehicle is located in any public place. On private property, unless the solicitor has permission from the owner, tenant, lessee, or agent of the property. So it's now not that the owner can complain about it, which of course she or he could always do, but now you have to show you had specifically permission beforehand. So don't attempt any kind of free speech activity on any private property unless you have a signed consent to start with. Within 25 feet of any bank, savings and loan, or other financial institution, buildings including their outdoor automatic teller machines, and I suppose this is better than Santa Cruz where it's 50 feet, thank you very much, Council Members Kennedy, Rotkin, and Matthews. In the parking lot of any bank, savings and loan, or financial institution, within 10 feet of any entranceway or exit from any building open to the public other than those in paragraph C and E, which is the banks. H, in an outdoor dining area where patrons are seated at tables on or on chairs owned and serviced by an eating establishment. Again, this is a blatant attempt to privatize public sidewalks that these sidewalk yuppie cafes have sort of spread out onto, and now they want to exercise all kinds of rights over. Clearly, in my mind, unconstitutional, clearly abusive to our community in Santa Cruz, where we call it the Coonerty Cafe Law, after bookshop owner Neil Coonerty, who put that into the law, which makes it illegal, for example, for people to register voters in front of his cafe or perform or sit, even though the public sidewalk there is supposedly public and he is the one who is using that sidewalk for private profit-making purposes. I should say Georgiana's Cafe, one of his tenants. It's also illegal at any business to which is affixed a sign indicating no soliciting, begging, or panhandling. And then we have this whole series of bars to spare changing, panhandling, or asking for a cigarette, mind you, essentially look like they're directly lifted from the Santa Cruz code. Santa Cruz has a set of laws like this. Actually, our laws are a little worse, but they are very reminiscent of our sit on the sidewalk, go to jail type laws. Also barred is blocking the path of a person solicited along a sidewalk, alley, public walkway, street, or in a public place. That's fine, although it could be abused by police. By using profane, offensive, or abusive language, either during the solicitation or following refusal, I have no objection to this provision, or under the influence of alcohol or any illegal narcotic or controlled substance. So if a drunk rich man comes out and asks somebody for a dime, he's going to get arrested by the police, and no, I don't think so. Accosting any person in any public place or place open to the public for purposes of soliciting or begging. Accosting includes walking up to and approaching a person in a manner likely to threaten, harass, or intimidate a reasonable person. Now, this is really the only reasonable section of this ordinance. If you're really going after aggressive or abusive, spare-changing, panhandling, or solicitation, it's quite fair to say that accosting people is threatening, harassing them is inappropriate and should be illegal. And it is. It doesn't need this ordinance. What this ordinance makes, it makes peaceful spare changing illegal at all kinds of places, for example, in all kinds of times, such as after dark, such as in a bus, such as near a bank, such as within 10 feet of a entranceway, as you've already heard. Persisting in closely following or approaching a person after the person solicited has been solicited and informed the solicitor by words or conduct that such person does not want to be solicited, does not want to give money or other item of value is also illegal. I don't see a lot wrong with that. I think that's a form of harassment. Intentionally touching or causing physical contact with another person or an occupied vehicle without that person's consent in the course of soliciting, asking, or begging. Again, touching can be considered a form of battery. I think we're getting a little prissy here, but touching, well, some people are pretty sensitive about. Apparently, Scott Kennedy has a problem with this, not being touched, but touching himself. We heard last week when we talked to Chris Jennings, who had a debate with Scott Kennedy on the Homeless Garden Project, that Kennedy was pushing him back from the mic physically with his hand after engaging in another form of harassment. So perhaps we should import these laws into radio studios. But no, I don't think so. I think that we have a sufficient law as it is. Approaching any operator or occupant of a motor vehicle for the purpose of soliciting, asking, or begging while the operator or occupant is entering or exiting a motor vehicle that is stopped in any public place. I guess, though I haven't seen much of this happening. And the penalties are quite severe. The penalties for violating any provision of this are worse than the ones we have here. They would be in Salinas, if this is passed next Tuesday, a misdemeanor. That's up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine for this kind of behavior. It's a way of clearing people out of the area where the merchants don't want them to be, looks like to me. So, I called up the American Civil Liberties Union in Pacific Grove because I read a letter opposing this ordinance from an attorney, Michelle A. Welch. And Michelle was good enough to talk about this issue, and I'm going to play you that interview now. That assumes, of course, I can find the right tape, which is always problematic here in the studio. Wow. And I thought I had the tape on. Well, actually, I think I do, but it's going to take me a minute or two to find it. So while I'm doing that, I'm going to turn to another topic, with apologies to you hard-listening folks out there. But I think you're going to find it interesting as well. We went to City Council on Tuesday night, and I guess probably some of you out there did as well. As you probably know, Santa Cruz City Council meets twice a month, every second and fourth Tuesday. And this time their agenda in the evening was completely taken up with two very hot issues. One of them was the question of compulsory fluoridation of the local water supply. The other was the issue of the sale of the Pelton Street property, the property in which the Homeless Garden Project was situated, over the objections of the Planning Commission, the objections of the Parks and Rec Commission, the objections of neighbors, the objections of supporters of the Homeless Garden Project, the objections of 5,600 people who signed an initiative petition putting this issue on the ballot for election. And there was quite a debate on that issue. And actually, that's what I think I'll play for you now, since that tape seems to be up here and ready to roll. And do stay tuned. We'll get back to the Salinas analysis a bit later. Michelle Welch will be with us in tape-recorded form. But right now, here's a couple of speakers on the issue of Pelton Street. You should understand that the City Council rushed to sell this property in spite of the overwhelming sentiment to keep it in the hands of the community so that the community gardens and the homeless garden could continue. And this really is made abundantly clear by the speakers, so I don't really have to go into it. And plus, if you've been following this debate on our past shows, you'll know that that's the background. I'll give you a little more background later, but here's what happened around, God, was it 12:30, almost 1 o'clock at night at City Council, when they came up to put the final seal on this dirty deal where the City Council essentially voted 5-2, with Mary Beth Campbell missing. It was 4-2. For giving away this property to developers, actually selling it at a price less than they could get if they'd waited a reasonable amount of time, simply to wrench the decision out of the hands of the voters.
So I'm talking to
as fate would have it, the missing Michelle tape has indeed shown up. So we're going to skip back again. I hope you can follow these shifts. It's good training for you, all you radio listeners. We're going to go back to Michelle Welch, and then we will return to the Pelton Street property debate at City Council. This, again, we're about to hear, is a debate in Salinas, but the interview with ACLU attorney Michelle Welch, who has strong and clear views about why an ordinance in Salinas against panhandling is unconstitutional.
I'm talking to Michelle Welch. You're the chair of the legal committee of the ACLU Monterey County chapter.
Yes.
And you said that you were recently informed of action by the Salinas City Council kind of at the very last minute on a panhandling ordinance. Can you kind of brief us on what that ordinance is and the significance of the ordinance?
Well, that ordinance bans solicitation in two different ways. It bans all aggressive solicitation, which they find as blocking the path of a person, using offensive language, or being under the influence of alcohol or drugs, etc. And it also bans all solicitation at certain times of day, that is, after sunset and before sunrise, and in various places. It bans solicitation at any bus stop, public transportation, vehicle on the street, or on private property unless the owner is given permission or within 25 feet of a bank or an ATM machine. It's very broad.
Now, this word solicitation, what does it mean, Michelle?
Well, solicitation as defined in the ordinance means requesting anything of value, including money or food or anything, which would just about cover whatever a person might ask for on the street, and that would mean either somebody begging who's in need, or it would mean a political party, it would mean a religious party, it would mean someone selling Girl Scout cookies, it would mean a bell ringer for the Salvation Army.
Could it mean a request for information as well?
If it's just information without even setting up a can for donations,
it wouldn't be solicitation.
There wouldn't be solicitation, but as soon as you set up the donation can, it becomes banned under this ordinance, which is the very problem with it. The problem under the California Constitution is that this ordinance prohibits speech because of the content of the speech. It's okay to say whatever you're going to say, but if you say it and then ask for money, you can't say it. So it's the content of the speech that is banned by this ordinance. That's why it becomes unconstitutional as a violation of the liberty of speech clause.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a moment. Let's suppose, certainly some forms of speech are considered to be illegal, such as, soliciting someone to engage in murder. That kind of speech is a criminal act, is it not? Part of a conspiracy to commit a crime.
A conspiracy or yelling fire in a crowded theater, which creates a clear and present danger. But this kind of speech, asking for what you need, or asking for people to support your point of view, is the very crux of free speech. And it would be impossible for the city to argue that city streets are not public places. That is where the public is. If somebody's going to try to get the word out or try to ask for money to support a cause or to ask for food, where else are they going to do it than on a public street?
Now, you live in Pacific Grove.
Yes.
What's the situation there? Is there a similar ordinance or is there a practice by the police department against public begging?
Well, those are two separate questions. No, there isn't an ordinance as far as I know. And there are already in place criminal statutes that can be applied in this situation when the begging or solicitation becomes overly aggressive. It could constitute extortion, violating penal code, or robbery, or assault, or battery if someone is being touched, however lightly, if it's against their will, or disturbing the peace, or disorderly conduct. There already are in place these statutes that prohibit that kind of behavior that don't relate to speech. That behavior is prohibited whether or not it's combined with asking for money.
These are state laws we're talking about, right, that can be used by local authorities?
That's correct. And instead of using these state laws, many cities throughout California have enacted ordinances that expressly ban solicitation, but don't ban, for example, catcalls and sexual harassment of women on the street, as long as they're not asking for money. That don't ban religious zealots who follow you and try to hand you literature, as long as they're not asking for money. So other forms of aggressive contact on the street are not covered by this ordinance. But if somebody, however meekly and mildly, carries a sign saying, "We'll work for food," that would be banned within so many feet of the doorway or after dark.
Now, when I spoke to Kyle Henley, the Salinas, Californian reporter covering this, he told me that a lot of the motivation was a new project called the Steinbeck Center and a beautification project, which the Downtown Merchants Association in Salinas, or whatever they call themselves, I'm not sure if that's their name, is working on.
Yes.
Do you have any information on that?
Yes, they're building a beautiful center down in that area of Salinas, which used to be the poor area, and still in many ways is an area where poor people congregate, where Dorothy's Kitchen provides free meals. It's in that same area that they're building this beautiful Steinbeck Center, which is intended to attract tourists and also to serve the local community. So naturally, the city is concerned about having these undesirable poor people around their beautiful new facility begging. It's it's not appealing, and they're concerned that it will put off tourists. And certainly, aggression and aggressive solicitation of any kind does put off people. But the cases have held that annoyance is not sufficient reason to ban speech.
What do you... Do you have any take on what the City Council is likely to do on this issue in Salinas?
I don't know. I had a productive meeting with two members of the council and the city attorney. And certainly I think they understand the issues. I think they understand what the law has been. One problem is that the federal courts that have decided these issues, five different federal courts, applying the California Constitution, are at the district court level. There's only one at the appellate court level.
That's a higher level, right?
Excuse me?
That's a higher level, the appellate level?
Right. The district court level is the actual trial court that makes the initial rulings, and those are the decisions that we have uniformly holding these ordinances unconstitutional. So what I'm saying is there is not much in the way of appellate level or Supreme Court authority.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one reason why cities continue to enact these ordinances, because a higher court has not yet said you may not do this.
Now, wasn't there a significant case about 6 or 7 years ago in San Francisco involving a unemployed muni driver in which, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but he was arrested for panhandling and sued the court. This case actually put panhandling laws on hold in Northern California for about 4 or 5 years. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
What happened to that case, and where are we now around that?
Well, that case, which I think was Blair versus Shanahan, was, it went on and on in the appellate process, and frankly, I think it ended up being resolved by some means of settlement, and so it never sort of went on to come to a full legal resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been numerous cases, one of which was in Berkeley, not long ago in 95, where a very similar ordinance was struck down.
Proposition O?
I can't remember what the proposition number was, but mm-hmm. probably it was that.
Mm-hmm.
That ordinance banned solicitation in almost an identical way to the Salinas ordinance. It was struck down, and then the City of Berkeley amended the ordinance to address the constitutional problem, so that did not go to the Court of Appeal either, which was smart. I mean, if you are faced with constitutional issues, I always think it's a good policy for a governing body to err on the side of protecting constitutional rights rather than challenging them.
Any recommendations for those who feel this ordinance is something that should be defeated? Do you suggest perhaps calling the City Council? Or?
Yes, and also I understand the vote will be taken next Tuesday, the 17th of March. And if people have opinions on this issue, they certainly may attend the council meeting and use the public comment portion of that meeting to make their views known to the council.
Now, if they want to... If they want to amend this ordinance to take into account constitutional defects that you brought up, does this mean that Did you get any sense this was likely to happen based on the conversations you had with the city attorney?
You mean that they were likely to amend it?
Right.
No, I think they're likely to discuss it and vote on it either up or down the way it is, and then either try to defend it or postpone it, which is essentially what, on behalf of the ACLU, I asked them to wait to enact an ordinance until the guidance is forthcoming from the Court of Appeal, which should be within a year. And in the meantime, to firm up their police practices to enforce the criminal statutes that are already in place.
Mm-hmm. Is the ACLU prepared to take a case forward here if one comes up without charge, pro bono?
All ACLU cases are pro bono. In fact, we all in Monterey County are volunteer attorneys. It's true in Santa Cruz as well. I can't say, because no decision has been made, whether the ACLU would take up this case in the city of Salinas. But I can say that most of the other cases throughout California have been brought by ACLU attorneys, or at least in conjunction with ACLU attorneys. So this has been one very fundamental function of the ACLU, is to protect the right to free speech.
Is this a kind of a time-consuming activity? Let's suppose you were to take such a case on. Would it take up a lot of your time, a lot of hours?
Oh, yes.
What you would estimate the average amount of time you'd spend in a 6-month period on this? How many hours would it take?
On this particular case, on which the law right now is fairly clear in California, it would still probably hard to estimate. But as far as the number of hours it would take or the amount of attorney time it would consume, it would be very significant. I mean, I would say probably at least $100 worth of time writing briefs and researching and presenting matters to the court.
100 hours.
That's hard to say, but that's probably conservative.
That's a lot of time and a lot of money for an attorney to divert to that kind of a case.
It is, but all ACLU attorneys, except for those 5 staff attorneys in San Francisco, always work pro bono. And frankly, it's one of the reasons we went to law school, was to do work that we felt was important. It's big.
Well, it's probably one of the reasons that no attorney has taken up a panhandling case here in Santa Cruz, even though we were actually the first city to get these onerous laws after Seattle. We had a law that's, I guess, even worse than your...
You're a no-sitting law.
We also have a no asking for spare change after dark, no asking for spare change from a seated position, no asking for spare change in a group of 2.
That sounds about as onerous or worse than the Salinas Ordinance.
Oh, yeah.
And one interesting thing is that because the law is now clear in federal courts on this issue, even a private attorney who brings a lawsuit is likely to recover attorney's fees because cities are enacting these ordinances, knowing full well that they violate the Constitution.
Well, in case any listeners who have been hassled for panhandling or listening attorneys are interested in taking up such a case, I encourage them to give me a call. Who knows, if they're serious, Michelle, maybe I can put them in touch with you, to get some assistance, at least in terms of, not as an attorney, but if another attorney wants to help.
Sure.
I'd be able to provide your expertise in terms of the work you've done on this kind of matter already.
Okay, and of course the ACLU in Santa Cruz has been, I know, active in reviewing your solicitation ordinance too.
They did speak against it at City Council in 1994, and they did take a case around the sitting ban, but so far, in spite of our urgings, they have not yet taken up any panhandling ordinances. We hope that that can change.
Yes, I do too.
Listen, thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to add you think that might be instructive around this issue before we go?
I can only add that the problem of aggressive solicitation is one that I think needs to be viewed in the larger context. Most of us who have been around for a while and are over perhaps the age of 20 remember a time not long ago when you just did not see people out begging on the street. You did not see the level of poverty and need that's clearly visible today. And that needs to be addressed in a different arena from simply banning it. It can't go away because we refuse to see it, because we make it illegal.
I have to agree with you. Thank you, Michelle Welsh, ACLU Monterey County Chapter Chair of the ACLU Legal Committee.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. In Santa Cruz, this is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, twice weekly civil rights show. If you want to be on the air as a guest, if you have criticism or additional information that you think will be helpful for us on the air, you can call us. You can even call us now. You won't get on the air, but we will consider what you say, what you tell us, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's 423-4833 for any reactions to the show, additions, thoughts, so forth. I am thinking of getting together a caravan of folks to go down to Salinas, which is about 40 minutes away by car, on March 17th, Tuesday in the afternoon when the City Council is meeting. If I get enough input from folks on the phone lines that want to go, I may do that. So if you want to go to the Salinas City Council and tell them to back off 4 people, give me a call again at 423-4833, and we can perhaps arrange transportation down there. It isn't just happening in Salinas, of course. It's happening all over. At a later show, possibly in a week or two, I'm going to be doing a full report on something going on in Prescott, Arizona, which has really been alarming. I kind of mentioned it in passing. I'm going to read a fax I got today from Prescott. City prepares new anti-panhandling rules. Ordinances would discourage vagrancy. And what this talks about is a rather ominous development. ID cards for homeless people. Come next spring, transients who come to Prescott could find the city dramatically less hospitable. In response to escalating problems with transients and public drunkenness, downtown merchants have joined forces with several city departments and two city advisory boards to recommend a package of measures to discourage vagrancy. I have to interrupt this reading because this is the same kind of preamble we heard in the Salinas panhandling ordinance. And of course, there are no specifics about an increase in any specific crimes or concerns. There are no real facts to back up this allegation. What's probably in effect here is merchants trying to expand their area of influence. As in Salinas, there now is an attempt to move people out because of the Steinbeck Center. In Prescott, I suggest something similar may be happening. But again, I hope to give you more specifics on this at a later show. City Attorney John Moffitt said the package could be ready for the Prescott City Council by December. This is actually a November story I'm reading here. I'm not sure why it got faxed to me today, but I guess we'll have to go into that later. It will be a multifaceted approach, Moffitt said. Forming the cornerstone of the package are three proposed ordinances to discourage panhandling and living in public places. Specifically, the ordinance would prohibit outdoor camping, aggressive panhandling, any type of panhandling in the downtown. Earlier this week, the Prescott Planning and Zoning Commission and Downtown Commission endorsed the ordinances. And in fact, that's where they come from. I learned that from one of the reporters there, that these ordinances are coming straight from the merchants and the police department. Under the new laws, downtown visitors could no longer lay down a bedroll or pitch a tent for living accommodation purposes. They also could not touch or follow people when they ask for handouts. In fact, one of the ordinances would prohibit panhandling downtown altogether. Although the city cannot prohibit panhandling citywide, Moffitt said, prohibiting it in certain parts of town is another matter. We think an ordinance that prohibits it in certain areas would pass muster, he said. Planning and Zoning Commissioner Jim Lewis said he doubts the seriousness of the problem. I don't get solicited downtown, he said. Downtown businesswoman Linda Wilhelmson assured Lewis that the problem is growing. It is a problem and it has escalated recently, she said. Lewis also questioned the city's ability to enforce the new ordinances. Are we trying to do things we can't do, he asked. It seems we don't have the enforcement. Moffitt stressed, however, that stricter laws will be just the groundwork for the city's approach. There's a whole slew of other possibilities, he said. An informal group consisting of city officials and downtown merchants is working to come up with ideas for the effort. For instance, Moffitt said, the city could beef up police protection downtown, especially in the Granite Creek Park area. Merchants could form a community facilities district to raise the money to pay for extra officers, he said. Again, I interrupt this story, which is from the Daily Courier in Prescott, Arizona, by Cindy Barks from last November. One gets the impression that there's some sort of crime wave going on. Of course, there isn't. At least they have not presented any statistics. And indeed, one of their own people, the Planning and Zoning Commissioner Lewis, says he's not even noticed a problem. The problem is in the minds and in the hearts of the merchants, as it is in Santa Cruz. You have a situation where people that simply want to move a whole group of people away because they're apprehensive about their businesses. And when it becomes accepted in one city, it becomes the model for the next. And so, ominously, we see an entire group of people being told, not that they can't engage in abusive behavior, but they cannot engage in behavior that is necessary to life, like sleeping, like asking for something when they need it in a manner that's not threatening. Other ideas include new sentencing methods for violators of the vagrancy laws, more fencing around Granite Creek Park to cut off access, and a cleanup project in the park. Moffitt said the ordinances would not go to the city council until the group comes up with its entire program. He said that should happen before Christmas. Next week, the group will meet with representatives of charitable organizations which aid the homeless once the colder winter weather hits. Prescott's vagrancy problems are not as serious, Moffitt added. The colder it gets, the less of a problem we have. So the group's goal is to put a comprehensive package for dealing with vagrants in effect before spring. They actually, when they met with those service providers at the next meeting, heard from some renegade service providers. I say renegade in the sense that they were renegade against the poor people that they're supposed to be serving, suggestions that the police department issue ID cards that people would have to get before they would be eligible for food or other services. Very cynical, cold-hearted approach to cutting people off of public services, because it's often the case that folks have petty tickets, petty warrants for violations of just the kind of ordinances that these folks are talking about beefing up, like sleeping at night, like being about in a public place when a merchant doesn't want you there, like essentially being uncosmetic or unfashionable downtown in a way that the powers that be would prefer to not have you. And you get a warrant or a ticket for that kind of activity, and then in order to get a bowl of soup in a soup line or a coat from St. Vincent de Paul or some kind of medical service, you then have to go to the police department first to get an ID. Now, this is going to cut a lot of those people out, and it's really a cynical move, and in my mind, a pretty vicious one. So I'm hoping to continue to cover this story. Again, this is about Prescott, Arizona. Here in Santa Cruz, we are much more enlightened. As long as you don't offend Karen Gillette, you can have a free meal at the Homeless Community Resource Center. As long as you stay out of the downtown, you can eat with Food Not Bombs down there at the town clock. Don't try and get food from Feed the People downtown with Sean Alimi. Sean, as we know, is under 14 felony indictments, I believe it is. Police are out to make sure his food operation does not continue. So there is there's a problem across the country in terms of the crackdown on homeless people and their basic civil rights. And there's also a crackdown here in Santa Cruz that's something we have to address. The next thing that I'm going to get back to, which I spoke about before, which you actually began to hear before, was the Pelton Street situation. As I said before, Pelton Street was the area where the Homeless Garden Project was located and was essentially run off or sold out from under them by the city council. We're going to first hear a bit of music, and then we're going to go to the city council debate of last Tuesday on that issue.
We are the outlake subjects. We are the young and small. But we are the writing on your wall. We don't believe in profits. We don't believe in shares. We don't believe in magic. We don't believe in prayers. Turn around and face us. The future has begun. From you we've learned that power grows from the battle of a gun. We are the young ones, the learners, the readers, the writers, the copiers, the reciters.